Jimmy, could you help Frank? He'll show you what we're gonna do. I'll take that chair and we're gonna put the board up there. Today we're going to school, everybody. If you can't see this, here, let's move it over that way just a little bit. And just let me know. You can just come up closer if you need. I wanted to use the whiteboard today because I feel like this would be more powerful with an illustration. So we're on the series, The Fruit of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So let's open with prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. God, today we ask that you would open up our hearts to receive every word that you want us to hear. Holy Spirit, you know what each one of us need. You know areas in our lives where we're hurting. You know areas in our lives where we need healed. But God, you know where we need encouragement, God, to just keep going stronger and be encouraged in your word. So we thank you for that. Holy Spirit, speak through me exactly what each person needs to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. So open up your Bibles today to Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to read some scripture and then I'm going to start doing an illustration. I'm going to move this a little closer. Ephesians chapter 1. And what I'm going to start with is reading verses on explaining spirit, soul, and body. Okay? So as I read these, then I'm going to give an illustration so you can kind of know what I'm talking about. Okay? So Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to read 13 and 14. In whom also ye trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So our spirit is sealed by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so then turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to start at verse 18, 1 Peter chapter 1. Thank you, Lord. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And then we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to read 19 and 20. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. All right, so today I want to talk about love, and I want to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, but I think that, you know, sometimes we get the command to love one another, and it's like, well, how do we do that if there are people in our lives who have hurt us or things that are just unlovable? You know, like if you get hurt, how do you have the power to love somebody? How do you have the power to forgive somebody? How do you have the power to let that bitterness and anger go? Well, it's supernatural, and I'm going to explain it like this. So when we are born on this earth, we are born with three things. We're born with our spirit, and because of Adam, because he sinned, we're all born with a spirit, but it is born as a spiritual death. So even though we're alive, you know, sometimes people think that death means that you're dead. Well, in the spiritual form, there is either spiritual life or spiritual death. So death exists in its own. It is separated from God. So there's spiritual life and spiritual death. You're either with God or you're not with God, okay? So when you're born, because Adam sinned, your spirit is dead. And then in your body, inside of you, you have a soul. Okay? So in the very center of your being is your spirit. And then surrounding your spirit is your soul. If you are dead, then that's the part of you. Have you ever felt like someone has told you in their life, or maybe you've said this, is I feel like I'm empty inside. I feel like there's nothing there. That's because your spirit is dead and your soul is searching for something to connect with. Okay? Okay. Now, surrounding all that, take a guess.
Flesh.
Our flesh. Okay? It's our body. So our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions, okay? Our body is our flesh, so anything surrounding our soul and spirit. So all of our flesh makeup, our entire being. So let's read, let's see, where do I want to go with that real quick? Turn to Romans chapter 5, and then I'm going to go into more detail. I'm going to start at verse 11, Romans 5, verse 11, and this helps explain what I just said. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, and that's Adam, by Adam, all that happened. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And in Ephesians, it talks about, I think it's Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about when you receive Jesus, When you believed in what he did for you and his atonement, his sacrifice, his death on the cross, your spirit that was once dead becomes alive. Okay? So if you have never received Jesus, your spirit remains dead. When you believe on him and you have faith, you become alive. Okay? And this is really important because as we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, all of the fruit of the Spirit comes from your spirit. And what happens is when you receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. And you actually become united. Your spirit becomes united with Christ. And so inside of you, not only is your spirit made new and you're made alive, but you have the resurrection power of Jesus Christ flowing through your spiritual veins. That's how powerful Jesus is inside of you. Amen. So how do you get this power of God inside of you to help your soul and your body, right? Because that's really what we need to live on this earth. Our spirit is already, we already know we're going to heaven, right? We believe in Jesus, we're going to heaven. So our spirit is sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So basically, inside of your spirit, there's this entire barrier. Your soul and your body, nothing that affects your body or affects your soul can get inside of your spirit. So I'm going to read you some definitions of love. Let's see, what do I do with my paper? Right here. I got so many notes today. I will probably have to split this up in a couple weeks in two parts. Okay, so this isn't going to sound altogether nice, but it's important, okay?
Okay.
I'll start with the nice part. How's that? Mm-hmm. So love is benevolence, care, intimacy, endearment, fondness, tenderness. So let's just put love. All of these things, they're going here and here. Okay, from the outside. This is love from the outside, not what's on the inside yet. We're talking about outside. So when people show love to you, they show you benevolence, care, intimacy, endearment, fondness, tenderness, adoration, worship, devotion. Love is an intense feeling of deep affection or esteem. It is a great interest in something. If in the verb form, you feel deep affection for, like or enjoy very much, you're smitten with, you think the world of, you are passionate about, you hold very dear, adore, treasure, care very much for. All of these things are how you feel love, okay? Now, the opposite of that is hate. Okay? And hate has the same exact effect, your body and your soul. Okay? So this is where this becomes hard to deal with. Okay? Love is easy to receive. Okay? It's hard to give out love when these things happen to you. Hate means loathe, detest, dislike, despise, not able to bear, not able to stand, shrink from, be repelled by. The word hate means abominate, abhor, be revolted by, regard with disgust, shudder at, unable to stomach, find intolerable. So I want you to imagine these are the things that happens when somebody hates you and the things that they do to you, okay? When people betray you, when they abuse you, these are all hate. When they misuse you, when they bully you, when they irritate and annoy you, when they mistreat you, when they assault you physically or sexually, when they hurt or harm you, when they injure, beat, or molest you, when they persecute you, torture you, or take advantage of you, when they distress or stress you out, These are all hate. All of these things affect your body and your soul. They do not affect your spirit, okay? So, love or hate on the outside, your body feels it, but your soul, which is your mind, your will, and emotions, is how you react. So your mind, in your mind, every time somebody irritates you, mistreats you, hurts you, or your body, every time somebody abuses you, injures you, persecutes you, all of these things are happening to your body and to your soul. Your soul, mind, will, and emotions shows the most between love and hate in your emotions. You know, so like if someone says, I love you, you feel that love and you want to say, I love you back, right? Unless you don't love that person, I'm sorry. but if that person hates you, a lot of times what happens is sometimes we have an emotional outburst, but sometimes we don't. We have these things that hatred can cause on the inside of us, and that is unforgiveness, and all of these things affect your soul, okay? All of these things, unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred, anger, depression, anxiety, irritability, animosity, these are all in your soul if you receive them, okay? And that's the hard part. So say you're going through these things and you have been hurt and you have been betrayed, you've been assaulted, you've been injured, you've been tortured, different people have said bad things about you, you've heard things on Facebook or you've heard things on TV or you've heard your coworker talking about you behind your back. All of these things affect your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions. And as a Christian, you have something inside of you that actually helps your body and your soul. Amen?
Amen.
And this is where the power of love is so incredible. So I want you to turn to Matthew 22. Now, I want you to keep in mind, this is Jesus speaking to us. And not only is he speaking to us and it's for us now, but it is the same command that God gave the Israelites all the way back when he originally gave them the law. Okay, this is how important this is. So Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38. Actually, I'm going to start at 34 to kind of give a context. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, because what they want to do is they want to get a rise out of Jesus. So all of these people are coming to Jesus and they're like, so what about this? And so they're asking him the hardest questions. You know, like basically, if you're a Christian, the most common question I get from people who aren't saved is, if God is good, why does he let bad things happen to good people?
Right.
That is number one question that I get. And what they don't understand is that we have a real enemy, and his name is the devil, and he wants to destroy our lives. And so all evil in this world comes from the devil, and that's what, you know, and if you're not a Christian, you sometimes you don't understand that. But God can still reveal that. Amen? All right, so verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And it's interesting, when this lawyer asks him this question, you know, this lawyer is trained in the law of Moses. So he already knows what every word that Jesus says to him, the lawyer already knows. But just because you know something doesn't mean that you understand it. And I feel like he asked him this and did not expect Jesus to give him that answer. I think he expected him to give him some theological answer, like to start a debate. But Jesus did the simple thing and spoke what the word said, and the man could not respond. And that is what God does, and that's what Jesus does in every situation in our lives. We take our entire problem, and we want to explain down to detail how big our problem is. And we want him to know, God, this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And this person has caused me all of these injuries. And this person has tried to destroy my life. And Jesus says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And then he says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And inside of you, you're thinking, how is that possible? How am I going to love this person? How am I going to love this person that I hate? How am I going to love this person that keeps hurting me over and over again? How am I going to put up with this person? If this person, it makes it even harder if this other person is a Christian. Because you're thinking, well, that person's going to go to heaven and I'm going to go to heaven. How are we going to get along with each other, right? Or sometimes it's not a Christian, and you think, I'm glad that person's going to hell. Mm-hmm. But that's not God's heart.
No, it's not.
Right? Because inside of us is the Spirit of God. And the only way to love those who hate you is to let the love of God come out of your spirit. Amen? It's easy to receive love. And it's easy to give love when it's been to your body and to your soul. But when hate comes after you and it affects your body and your soul, and you are filled with unforgiveness and you're filled with bitterness and you're filled with pain, the only way to be healed of that is the opposite. And that's to love out of your spirit. And that love, from that love comes forgiveness into your soul. From that love comes forgiveness into your body. You know, sometimes you have to forgive yourself. And then from that love comes forgiveness for that other person. For that person who has hated you, who has betrayed you, who has done you wrong. The only way to truly love them is to let that love be love that comes out of your spirit. Because in our lives, you know, we have a certain amount of love that God has blessed us with. We all have, because that is how all of us get together. We procreate. God created in us to get together with husbands and wives and create children. That is just natural. And no matter how the world tries to destroy it, that is who we are, right? Well, if you're married, you will understand how difficult sometimes marriage can be, right? You'll know, how many times does that person annoy you? Or how many times does that person irritate you? Or how many times does that person get on your nerves? Or betrays you? Or tries to destroy your life? You know? All of those things happen, and it's just the devil's attack on what God designed us to be. God designed us to love each other, and the devil just wants to destroy that, right?
Right.
So we have this love. We have a certain amount of love that we have for our children, right? And that almost seems easy, right? Because when you have your children, they love you, and you just love them, and it's just amazing, that connection. But then when they get to be teenagers, or even younger teenagers, sometimes they get to be that age where they start to talk back, you know, and you're like, oh, you still love them, but you just have a hard time putting up with that stage, right? Well, it doesn't mean that that love just goes away. It just means it takes a lot more work. And so that's where your mind, your will, and emotions, you're loving that person. You're loving people through your mind, your will, your emotions, and your body. That's how you're connecting with most people. That's if you're not saved, you're going to go through your whole life. That's the only way you're going to connect with people. And when they do any form of hate toward you, any type of betrayal, any type of abuse, any type of hurt or harm, or any type of critical words or things that you think is hatred toward you, then you have a hard time loving them because it's only surface love. It's only body and soul. But if you have the love of God inside of you, then those people in your life who you're like, man, you love them, but you've gotten to the point where you just don't think you can love them anymore. You've gotten to that point where you're like, you're just tired of dealing with them. You've loved them your whole life. And then suddenly they hurt you and you feel like, I just can't love them anymore. Because you're loving them through your body and through your soul. And that's limited. The only way to truly love people is through your spirit. Because when you're commanded to love, like Jesus says, to love people. And that just seems so hard. But he knows that if you don't love people, your own body and soul will be destroyed. What happens is, when you believe in Jesus, your spirit is alive. But if you stop loving people and you decide, is this Jesus thing even real? I can't get through this. How can I even accomplish anything in life? Jesus must not be real. He must not really love me. If you choose in your life to stop believing in him, then that destroys you. Because what makes this spirit alive is your faith in Jesus and you believing what he has done for you. But if you go through your life and at some point in your life you decide he's not real and he's not enough for you, then that's gone. So not only does that hatred affect your body and soul, but it destroys your spirit. And I know a lot of people, you know, it says in the word that you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. But you are sealed because of your faith in God. You are sealed because you believe that Jesus is inside of you. But if you stop believing in God, then it's over for you. And I don't know, you know, I can't judge people's hearts. God knows people's hearts. Only God knows when people get to that very worst instance. And I pray that nobody does. But I'm saying all this because we need to know that when people do things to us, it's not like, you know, we feel like, okay, this person hurt us, then I need to forgive them, and I need to have a relationship with them, and I need to be spending time with them, and I need to make everything right with them and be united with them, and suddenly, you know, it's daisies and roses the next day. No, it's not. When someone has hurt you, yes, you have to forgive them. You start, and that power comes through your spirit. And you forgive that person, you choose to forgive. That's where your mind, your will, and emotions. You are making a choice to forgive that person who has hurt you. But it does not mean that you have to go to that person the very next day and be like, okay, we're going to hang out forever. We're best friends now. No, things take time. Things need to be healed. Because even if your spirit helps your soul and your body forgive, just as much as something took its time to destroy you, because even if someone has said something to you, for you to truly feel unforgiveness and bitterness, that means that it's taken a lot of time dwelling inside of your mind and your emotions before you truly have that hatred inside of you for that person that has done you wrong. It takes time. Even if that person, you know, sometimes things hit quickly, but if it's just one time thing, then it's, you know, it doesn't hurt you as much. But when someone goes after you again and again and again, then that hurt becomes deeper and deeper and deeper into your soul. And what it does is it actually consumes your soul. So everything inside of your soul becomes hatred and unforgiveness and bitterness. So imagine this whole thing is black. But your spirit is still alive. And in your spirit, the Holy Spirit is telling you, hey, you need to forgive this person. Hey, you need to make a choice. I know this person hurt you, but you need to love them. And the Holy Spirit is reaching out into your soul, reaching into your mind and saying, hey, you need to let this go. You need to let this go. You need to give this thing away and stop holding it in. And so over and over, the Holy Spirit is reaching into your soul and saying, forgive, forgive. And when you make that decision, you say, yes, okay, I choose to forgive. And then you go see that person, and it's like this. You've forgiven that person, and you're like, oh, I love them. So a little bit of love comes out, okay? A little bit of love comes through here to that person. Because you're like, I forgave them. I chose to forgive them. And then you see that person, and you're like, oh, no, I have not forgiven that person. So then it becomes like this again. And that darkness is there. And you're like, how am I going to forgive this person? How am I going to love this person? Every time I see this person, this hurt just keeps coming back. And this pain, how is it possible, if I have the love of God inside of me, how is it possible for me to love that person? So you reach inside your spirit again. And you say again, yes, I'm going to forgive this person. And then you say it again and again and again. I am going to forgive this person. When I read The Bait of Satan, John Bevere, he says in his book, you know, when somebody offends you, you can hold that offense for a long, long time. And how do you get over it? How do you get over it? How do you get through that? He said, what you must do, every time what they did to you comes back to your mind. So everything that they've done comes back into your soul over and over again. Every single time, you have to make a choice to forgive them. But what's even more hard to do is to pray for that person. And he said, so every time that you think of that person, you say, you bind up the spirit of offense, because that's holding you in captivity. And you say, God, I pray for this person who has done whatever wrong it is to you. And at first, it might be really hard. At first, you might be like, oh, God, bless this person. You might be like, I don't ever want to pray for this person. Why do I have to pray for this person? And it might be even hard to say their name. If you're so angry and so mad at them for betraying you and hurting you, you don't even want to say their name. And that's where the Holy Spirit, in forbearance, in long-suffering, and in patience, helps you through these things. The Spirit of God does not give up on you when your soul is filled with unforgiveness. Just because you are going through something, God isn't like, okay, they're hopeless. They're never going to forgive this person. They're never going to get anywhere in life. They're going to hold this bitterness forever. I might as well just give up on them. No. God is patient inside of you. He is constantly telling you, just forgive. Just let this go. It'll be okay. And the more that you listen to your spirit, and the more that you choose forgiveness, and the more that you choose love, what happens is out of your spirit, that love overtakes your soul. And then it overtakes your body, because all of those things come in line. So when you think about that person, no longer, and it, however long it's going to take, for some, those hurts are deeper, and it takes longer to get out of them. For some, those hurts are smaller, and it only takes a little bit. So whether it takes 10 years, 50 years, or 5 minutes, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit is going to bring you through those. So he's going to bring you through your soul. He's going to bring you through every single time that you think about that person. He's going to help you through those thoughts. And every single time that you see that person and you're filled with anxiety, and, you know, like sometimes I've had times where I'm so mad at a person, especially when I was younger, that I would get like these panic, my body would get like panicky, you know, and I would just want to leave, and then my breath would get short. So not only would it affect my soul, but it was affecting me physically when people who had hurt me and I'd be around, you know. So the Holy Spirit, not only does he take that time to heal your soul, but he takes the time to heal your body, because he knows that every part, this is all of you, and all of it needs to be healed. Amen? So I'm going to continue the next part next week, but I'm going to read some scriptures about love to just kind of get this tight in your brain. Thank you, Jesus. You can just write these down. So, King David, you know, he had a special relationship with the Lord. And it's just awesome. When you read the Psalms, you know, he had a special relationship with the Lord, and he loved the Lord. And even King David made huge mistakes. Even he did. And yet he knew that he needed to repent and get his heart right, and God would heal him and God would forgive him. You know, it says in the Word that the love of God brings men to repentance. It's this love of God, this love of God, whether it's manifest openly or whether it's given through other people who have the love of God inside of them, it's all from the love of God. You know, I pray that every time someone comes into this place, that they feel the love of God that I feel. Because I'm telling you, I've been to several churches in my lifetime, and I can tell when a church is filled with the love of God based on the love of God that's in the people there.
Yeah, you can.
And it's that love that unites us together as a body, whether you're from this city or, like, you know, we went to New York and we could feel the love of God in Times Square Church. It was incredible. It was like, here we are, you know, these people are coming from all over the world to Times Square Church, all different nations. And there's no barrier because we all have the love of God inside of us. We're all different races, all different backgrounds, all different kinds of people, cultures. And yet we all came together under one love. That is how powerful the love of God is. It breaks down barriers that men put up, right? Psalm 18:1 says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Psalm 116:1 says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and supplications. Psalm 31:23, I love the Lord, all ye his, O love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Deuteronomy 6:5, and this is the command that I was talking about earlier. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. God commanded this because this is how important love is. If you go through your life and you have never experienced love from any person, you've never had your parents abandon you, your brothers and sisters abandon you, your family did, you've had relationships and they've fallen apart, your kids don't care about you, they don't call you anymore. You know, there are people who are in nursing homes and they've been in there for 20, 30 years and nobody calls them. Nobody says, hey, how are you doing? The only love that they feel is sometimes the caretakers, sometimes the visitors. But most of the time, they are left alone and not loved. Not our nursing homes. But, you know, you have to know, if you don't know what it's like to not have love in your life, that is the worst feeling. That is complete separation. And that's why God puts in us a deep desire, because he loves us so much, he wants us to want to be loved. He puts that in us because, I mean, what if you don't have, you're going to school and you have no friends? You know how lonely that is? Teachers don't care about you. Your parents think you're a mess up. You go to school and you're not doing great in school, and so everybody looks down on you. You know, that's rough. That's rough. And the only way to get through that is with the love of God. Because what God does is he brings love that is supposed to be inside of you out. And what happens is that brings good favor in your life. And so people who weren't there suddenly are drawn to the love of God that's in your life. And you are changed. And you get friends. And you get family. And you get the love of God in the church family. It is amazing what the love of God does in your life. Sure is. Exodus 20 verse 6 says, God showing mercy unto thousands of them that love him and keep his commandments. Psalm 119, 132 says, look thou upon me and be merciful unto me as thou used to do, this is old English, unto those that love thy name. Psalm 91, 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. And that is God talking to us. Psalm 145, 20, the Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And then Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 15. And this is really, really important because God knows that everything in your life, all the blessings, they come from not only does he love you, but it comes from you returning that love, right? And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain. That means every part of your life, from the first moment that you need God to the in-between moments to the end, God will always provide for you. That thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Amen. And then verses 16 and 17 on that talk about, not only do you want to do that, but you want to keep your eyes off of the gods of this world. Because all of the gods of this world actually turn you from the love of God. And without the love of God in your life, it'll be hard to love people. So if you try to get love from the world, it is not enough. All of it is just body and soul. All the things of this world, all of the entertainment. You know, God made this world for us to enjoy, right?
Right.
Like Pastor used to say, I love going skiing in the mountains, you know, it's like, well, I love to do different things, you know, like I love getting on a motorcycle and feeling that breeze in my face. It's just incredible. I love enjoying all nature. I love being outside. I love my daughter. I enjoy her. You know, I love to be with my husband. Those are things that, like, but if I put those things above God and made them number one in my life, it would destroy me. If I got on my motorcycle and rode forever, it would destroy my husband, our relationship. If I took Mandy all the time and never included my husband with anything, that would destroy our relationship. If I left my daughter at a babysitter's and then Michael and I went out all the time and never spent time with our daughter, it would destroy her,
yeah.
Right? That's because we need this relationship and love in our life. And if we put things in our life and we put too much of our love and make everything in the world more important than what God wants us to be in our lives and focus on what He wants in our lives, He knows how much love that Michael needs, and God knows for Michael how much love I need for each other, right?
Right.
He knows how much love Mandy needs. So through Michael and I, we have to listen to the Lord. You know, how much attention she needs or what she's going through. You know, these are important things that when we put God first in our lives and we love Him first, then that love affects, it's the fruit that affects all other things around us, right? And so I just want to point out one thing, but I'm going to read Psalm 5:11 first. But let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee. And I'm going to bring out joy in the fruit of the Spirit. But that is how incredible love is. And I just want to close with one thing. So, you know, earlier I pointed out how love, when you choose to forgive someone, you know, you just have that starting step, and it's just that little opening, and a little bit of love flows through. You let a little bit of that love, and you say, I forgive that person, and it's just a little bit. Well, you know, fruit, if it's eaten when it's ripe, it's good. But if you eat something when it's not ripe, it is not good. Have you guys ever had, like, have you ever been in the orchard over here? And you get a tiny, tiny little apple when it's first growing, it is like bitter and awful. Like, you're not going to enjoy that, right?
Right.
Well, when you choose to forgive somebody, that very first forgiveness, and it's just the very first little bit, that love isn't fully mature yet. So you're trying to give that person unripe fruit because you haven't fully forgiven them yet. So they're going to eat that. They're going to eat that fruit, and it's going to be not ripe. And they're going to be like, you haven't really forgiven me. Or they're going to respond to you, and it's just going to make you angry and angrier because that fruit isn't ripe, right? So sometimes things, they take time.
Yeah, they do.
So you have to let, I think it says in Romans, where you have to let that love mature in your life, right? And so you have to take time. Don't give up. If you feel like, oh, I'm never going to get through this, I'm never going to forgive this person, or that person's never going to forgive me, you have to let the love of God work in their hearts, and you have to let the love of God work in your heart. Amen?
Amen.
Let it mature in your life. All right? Okay, so that is all I have today. And then next week, I'm going to bring out more about love, because I want to talk about Ephesians and the church of Ephesians and how they left their first love. And it's going to take me a really long time, so I don't want to spend 2 hours today just going through that part. But I just want to encourage you, you know, I went through different things in my life, you know, when I was a teenager, you know, it was like you just have this like boyfriend-girlfriend mindset, you know. Like you just want a boyfriend, boys just want a girlfriend. And that love is just so surface level. It's just body and soul. You know, and you think, oh, I love this person. I'm going to spend the rest of my life with them. And it's just, It's just temporary, you know? But when you get older, you start to mature and you realize, man, I want something deeper. I want a real love. I don't want this surface stuff. I want somebody who really loves me. Well, that's the way, you know, in our spiritual lives, God wants us to get to that point where we're tired of the things of this world that say they love us, the things of this world that grab our attention, and it's like, you know, I love to do this and I love to do that, but after a while you feel empty because it's not fulfilling. You need the love of God inside of you to truly, truly satisfy you. Amen? And that's what God is really trying to work on our hearts. You know, back in, anybody know Bob Jones?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he has, I think he started Bob Jones University. Well, he prophesied many, many years ago that when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, that there would be a great awakening after that. So many years ago. And finally, it happened, right? Chiefs went to the Super Bowl. Well, I was telling Michael the other day, this is how our God is. This is how awesome he is. Because not only have they gone to the Super Bowl once, but they've gone, this will be our fourth time, right, babe? This is our fifth time going to the Super Bowl. Like recently? Yeah. Yeah. So, but this three times in a row. Yeah. But this is our God. Because not only do the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, but they go back and they win it again. And I really hope they win next week. But this is how our God is. He not only says a word, but then he makes it really, really big and well known. Because every single person who knows that prophecy knows that it didn't just go away at that first Super Bowl. God's like, nope, you're going to remember what I said. When the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, there will be a great awakening breaking forth. And so I feel like that's like God just showing his people, I don't just want a little bit for your life. I don't want you to just do one thing. I don't want you to just, I heard the word of the Lord. Yeah, it happened. And that's it. No. God has awesome plans for your life. He has amazing, amazing futures for each and every one of you. Not only does he care about you as a person, he cares about your family. He cares about those you work with. He cares about every single situation in your life. That's our God. And if you haven't experienced how much he cares for you, then not only should you receive him into your life, if you've never received him, you should also spend time with him. Hear from him. God, what is it that you want to show me? What is it that I need to grow deeper in? What is it that I need to mature in? What is it that I need to change in my life so that I can be a better person? Because when you get changed in your life, other people around you get changed. Lives are touched. They're different around you when you love the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So I just want you to keep that. Just remember, when the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl, remember that God is the one who said that was going to happen. Remember that. Every single time they go to a Super Bowl and they win, and I think it's going to be many years personally, God is the one who said that originally. Okay?
Yep.
All right, you may stand and we'll pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. God, we thank you for your word today, Lord. God, first of all, we just ask you, Lord, that you would forgive us, God, of anything in our hearts that's not of you. Lord, we need your help. We need your help. And right now, if you're here today and you need Jesus, you've never asked him as your personal Lord and Savior, you've never said, yes, Jesus, I want you in my life, then right now we're going to say that together. Jesus, I choose you in my life.
I choose you in my life.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart. Come into my heart.
Transform me from the inside out.
Transform me from the inside out.
I receive your Holy Spirit.
I receive your Holy Spirit.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, you are dismissed.